Hi, everybody, and welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews. This is Bob Labriola, and today we're going to be talking about all things post-draft, post-rookie minicamp, and kind of waiting for that lull time to get here before OTAs start.
Yeah, Missy, as Mike Tomlin was talking about rookie minicamp, I'm sure there are things more meaningless than rookie minicamp in the NFL, but right off the top of my head, I cannot think of too many. Mike Tomlin referred to it as, you know, football in shorts, but you know, not totally meaningless, because at this rookie mini camp, Anthony Rashad White, an undrafted free agent from Michigan State, had been signed by the Steelers right after the draft ended. He showed up in such poor condition, he was unable to participate in any of the on-field sessions. He was cut. And Terrence Garvin, a guy from West Virginia, a linebacker who was just kind of in for the weekend on a wing and a prayer, hopeful for a weekend tryout, he got signed. Terrence Garvin is going to training camp with the Steelers. Anthony Rashad White is not. So as meaningless as it might be to most of us, to those two guys, it was quite significant.
Absolutely, and a lot of attention, of course, surrounding the Steelers' 9 draft picks from draft weekend. The number one pick, of course, being Jarvis Jones.
Yeah, Jarvis Jones, there's a natural excitement every year getting a look at the team's first pick of any draft. But again, you know, for a guy in Jarvis Jones' position, at his position, there's really not a whole lot to see. You know, in this kind of thing, you can get some idea of the quarterback, some idea of the receivers, maybe some idea of the defensive backs when they're, you know, kind of throwing and catching and covering the receivers. But linebackers, linemen, running backs, you know, you really can't tell a whole lot by what they were able to do here last weekend.
Some of the other guys, Marcus Wheaton and Shamarco Thomas, talked about what exactly, from the player perspective, rookie camp is for like them.
I would say it's kind of like the first week of, well, the week of the Senior Bowl, you know, so the install is kind of like the same thing, you know, a lot of the same plays, you know, so it's not too tough on me, you know, but definitely enjoying it and just having fun meeting new people, and I'm excited.
You look at learning the classroom, writing down and stuff, but getting on the field and offense motioning and flipping, you got to call the calls, it's been mind-boggling, but it's just a fun process and getting to learn out here.
How important is this weekend to just pick up some of the stuff, get to start knowing it before OTAs, before veterans are here?
Oh, it's definitely important. Like you said, just trying to learn as fast as possible, man. Get in here and get a little head start, because the veterans are already up there. They already know it, so trying to get adjusted and fit in.
As Mike Tomlin said, football in shorts, but what did you like seeing Jarvis Jones out there this weekend going through the on-field drills?
Well, you know, he has nice movement skills and those kind of things. The thing that kind of stood out to me a little bit was what he actually looked like in a helmet out there with other people of his size. You know, Jarvis Jones is not the James Harrison kind of build. He's more tall and thinner than James Harrison, who was very muscular, compact, and powerful. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to be able to play as well, or he's not going to be able to do certain things. You know, you just kind of see how he stacks up physically, but his movement skills, his feet, you know, you can tell why this guy was a first-round draft pick.
And we got a chance to catch up with Jarvis to talk about the pressure of being the first-round draft pick, and also if the Steelers' defense is similar to Georgia's.
I think the coach did a great job of implementing what we was doing out there today. I think we adjusted well to it. We learned it pretty fast. And for myself, you know, I played in a 3-4 system in college. So, I mean, it's a lot of the same stuff, different terminology. They do it a little different than we did in college. But, I mean, the concept, I kind of get it. I think our coaches are great teachers in the classroom as well as coaching us on the field and putting us in the right position to make plays. So, I think I adjusted to it well today. You know, I had a couple of MEs, but you know, I got time to get coached up by my coaches and learn where I need to be.
Well, the organization does have such a great history of pass rushers. Is that exciting or is that pressure? Is that
scary? I mean, it's exciting for me. Same time as a challenge, you know. But I think I got, like I said, I got great mentors and great coaches, and they've been here forever, so they know what it takes. All I got to do is just get up under their wings and learn, keep bettering my craft, and just take full advantage of them, you know.
Second-round pick running back Le'Veon Bell, also kind of exciting to see him in pads or in helmets and going through the drills as well.
Yeah, and one of the things you learned about Le'Veon Bell was how to pronounce his first name correctly, which is Le'Veon. It is spelled L-E, but it's pronounced as if the E were an A. And, you know, one of the things that you could see with him, you know, Le'Veon Bell comes here as a big power kind of running back. You don't get to see any of the power because of the fact there's no pads and very little contact. You know, most of the contact is accidental. But what Le'Veon Bell did show was some pretty nifty feet. He's quick-footed guy, which will help him in the NFL because if you're big without quick feet in the NFL, you are a large target, and large targets get hit often and they get hit hard. So Le'Veon Bell's feet will help him protect himself. And the other thing I liked when we saw from him was he has pretty nice hands. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, you know, not like Marshall Faulk or those kind of receivers out of the backfield, but he's also more than a, you know, run down the field, turn around, and you throw it to him and he catches it and tries to stumble forward. He should be good on screen passes. Especially if some of these Steelers' young offensive linemen who also have some movement skills develop into the kind of starters that the Steelers hope. Le'Veon Bell could be a big asset to their screen game and catch the ball out of the backfield. He can play special teams. I mean, this is a guy who you can put out there on first down and leave him out there for all four downs. He's not a guy who needs to come out when you're going to throw the ball. He's not a guy who needs to come out if you have to punt. He's not a guy who has to come out in short yardage. He's kind of an all-purpose running back, which is good for an offense because a lot of times you tip what you want to do by your personnel groupings. Le'Veon Bell will allow Todd Haley to call pretty much anything without having to take him off the field.
And Bell said he's ready to make an immediate impact for the Steelers offense.
Most definitely, you know, I think it's a, you know, great opportunity for me. I just want to go in here and compete. You know, I'm not, you know, set in stone that I'm going to be a starter or anything. I just want to go in there and compete, and wherever that happens, happens, you know, and I just want to be the best that I can be.
When you look at the Steelers offense and you know what their history is with running, do you feel like you're a good fit for that?
Yeah, like I said, it's a great opportunity for me. You know, they run my type of, you know, offense. The same thing kind of ran at Michigan State. You know, and I just want to go ahead and compete and make this team the best it can be.
Do you expect that you'll spend more time running between tackles here than you did at Michigan State?
Yeah, I mean, it's about be about the same. You know, that we're not going to be, you know, one-dimensional, just me running inside all the time. You know, they're going to, you know, switch it up, make me run outside every now and then. You know, defense can't just know I'm going to run inside all the time, you know. So we're going to mix it up and catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit, you know, all types of things.
You draft a quarterback, and I'm pretty sure you're going to get some attention, and that's exactly what happened during rookie minicamp with the addition of Landry Jones. His first day here, greeted by the media, and here's the first thing that he was asked.
Did you hear Charlie Batch say that he thinks you've been picked to replace Ben potentially somewhere down the line? Do you think that's the case, or are you just brought here in case Ben gets hurt?
I have no idea. You know, you might want to talk to the coaches or Mr. Rooney on that one, what they want to do with me. But I'm just here to learn football. You know, they give me an opportunity to come play. And so I'm here to play some football and have some fun.
A little surreal, Landry. I mean, a week ago you were still waiting for your name to be called. And, you know, now you're standing out here, the team that's got more Super Bowl titles than anybody else.
It is pretty surreal. You know, I've been blessed to put in this opportunity, and God's really just placed me here, you know, so it's my choice to take advantage of it, and hopefully I will, you know, and so like I said, I'm here to have fun, I'm here to learn, and I'm here to get better as a football player.
Did you like what you saw from Landry Jones during rookie minicamp?
Well, I mean, I don't know, his arm is okay, and I think maybe okay is being charitable, but, you know, he did a lot of throwing over the weekend, and I don't know that he was physically ready for as much throwing as he had to do. So I'm sure by the end of the weekend with all the, you know, he was working with, there were only two quarterbacks. So they had to handle all of the throwing and all of the practices, all of the drills, which start out with, you know, individual drills for the receivers, some individual drills for the defensive backs. These two quarterbacks had to handle all of that in addition to their own individual drills and then the team drills. So, you know, Landry Jones, he's not a big arm, rocket arm kind of guy. His forte is going to be getting rid of the ball quickly, making quick decisions. And a lot of times, if you are good enough at that, you don't have to have a big arm because the result is the same. The ball gets there on time. You know, we started with that video of Landry Jones and the question he was asked about Charlie Batch's opinion about him being brought in to replace Ben Roethlisberger. You know, Charlie Batch's opinion, he said he didn't think he was brought there to replace him. Well, I'm here to tell Charlie Batch that that is, in fact, exactly why Landry Jones was brought here. The Steelers filled a need by picking Landry Jones. Their need was at backup quarterback. They could not go through another season as they had to go through last year with, you know, one guy getting hurt and the other guy being too old. So the Steelers are trying to get younger at backup quarterback, and they hope that the pick of Landry Jones fills that need. Now, time will tell whether he was the right quarterback to be picked or not, but the fact that the Steelers picked a quarterback, I don't think was a bad move.
Gotcha. All right. Well, was there anybody Coach Tomlin wouldn't say if anybody stood out to him during rookie camp, but was there any other guys than the ones we've already talked about that did stand out to you?
Well, the one guy that I kind of noticed was Vince Williams. He would be the second pick in the sixth round, an inside linebacker from Florida State. Vince Williams, a couple of the things that I liked about him were, first of all, it wasn't very long into the on-field sessions when Vince Williams was instructing teammates about where they needed to be and shifting and those kind of things. Vince Williams did a lot of the play calling, defensive play calling, during his college career, and it seems like he has a very high football IQ, and it seemed to me, watching from the side, that that was a little bit on display right from the beginning. The other thing about Vince Williams, and again, it's something that doesn't really show in a rookie minicamp, but I think he's going to make special teams coordinator Danny Smith a very happy person. You know, the one of the main concepts, basic concepts of playing special teams, covering kicks, is find the guy with the ball, get the guy with the ball on the ground. Now, that sounds like a very simplistic thing, but sometimes it can be a little bit more complicated than we might think. This is a guy who will be able to find the guy with the ball and get him on the ground on special teams plays, and that alone could make him a very valuable part of the 2013 Steelers.
What about Marcus Wheaton and Shamarco Thomas? Anything from them?
Well, Marcus Wheaton is fast. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, again, he wasn't really working, you know, with Ben. He wasn't really working against defensive backs who knew a lot of things, how to play the position in the NFL. So, you know, he's fast. He didn't drop any catchable balls, you know, baby steps. Shamarco Thomas is a guy also, when you just watch him going through the drills, his footwork, his hips, all of those things, the basic fundamental athletic skills that you're looking for in a defensive back, he has all of those. And he is short, which is why Carnell Lake believes that the Steelers had an opportunity to pick him on the fourth round instead of having to consider him with their first round pick. So, you know, physically, he is what we thought he was. And so we'll see once the pads go on in training camp. I think that is when Shamarco Thomas is going to be able to, you know, really show what he's worth.
Well, we have two more weeks to OTA, so obviously we'll be learning a lot more then, and we'll have complete coverage for you with that. But, of course, we cannot end this show without, you know, talking about Mr. Mean Joe Green and the fact that he's retiring after 27 years with the organization. Just a stand-up guy, a great guy to be around in this building.
And someone very knowledgeable about a lot of things that go into winning football. You know, for me, Missy, Mount Rushmore, in terms of the history of the United States, the four faces up there are George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt. If you were to have a Mount Rushmore of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the four people you would have up there would be Art Rooney Sr., the team's founder, Dan Rooney, Chuck Knoll, and Joe Green. Joe Green is by far the greatest player in Steelers history, not only for what he did on the football field, but because he changed a culture. He was in the locker room what Chuck Knoll was to the coaching staff. You had 40 years of losing based on merit. You know, the Steelers lost for a lot of years because they weren't very good. Joe Green was the player who turned it around in terms of being a cornerstone that Chuck Knoll could build his foundation around. And whatever Chuck Knoll's message was, Joe Green made sure that that message was heard in the locker room. So, you know, as a player, unparalleled. As an assistant coach, a lot of times the great, really great players aren't that great as coaches because they can't understand why guys can't do what they could do just physically. But I'll tell you what, Joe Green, as a member of the personnel department, when it came down to sifting through the trash, who was real and who was putting on a front, who was a real leader and who was just a guy who talked about it, Joe Green could, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff. He knew BS when he heard it. And, Joe Green will be missed. The greatest player in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He meant so much to this organization today. Labs, I had a chance to talk to Chairman Dan Rooney, Team President Art Rooney II, also General Manager Kevin Colbert. Great stories talking about Joe Green as a player, you know, as one of the guys in the scouts, and just how much he meant to this organization. So we encourage everybody to head to Steelers.com later today to check that out.
Yeah, one more quick Joe Green thing. When Chuck Knoll was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he selected Dan Rooney to present him. When Dan Rooney was elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he had Joe Green present him. So that tells you right there what the Rooneys thought of Joe Green.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfect way to end today's show. Thank you so much for joining us for Bob Labriola. I'm Missy Matthews. We'll see you again here next time on Steelers.com Live.